5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I know you're gonna dig this.
You make $5 million a year. I'm a jerk on the radio. I know better.
Those are facts. Print that. Tweet that.
I don't like people or teams or products that dodge the heavy lifting.
If you don't like what we say or anybody says, here's what I would suggest. Get a rating.
The idea that you preface your opinion by what your identity is to me insane.
You gotta be kidding me. You can't run this clown out of town fast enough.
This man is a disgrace. He's throwing everything away. Get him the hell out.
That is a take. It's a strong take. It's one of the best takes ever.
Welcome to the Barrett Sports Media Podcast. Now, here's your host, Jason Barrett.
Season 4 of the Barrett Sports Media Podcast continues with episode number 6. Great to have you aboard. I am Jason Barrett. If this is your first time checking out the podcast, thanks for doing so. The focus of this show is on issues of significance for members of the sports media industry. You can learn more about what we do at Barrett Sports Media by visiting our website, barrettsportsmedia.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at SportsRadioPD or get in touch by email, jbarrett@sportsradiopd.com. You'll notice I mentioned a few seconds ago our website. And for those of you familiar with the BSM brand, you may notice that I didn't mention sportsradiopd.com. We recently modified the URL to reflect what our brand has been for the past 4 years. Honestly, it was way overdue. I realize that means having to change your bookmark and remember a new name, but I've got confidence you guys will figure it out. On today's episode, I'm joined by the brain trust of VSiN, which is the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Dan Mason and Bill Ady are here. More on that coming up in just a moment. On prior episodes, I had alluded to making audio available of some of the sessions that took place in Los Angeles in February 2019 at our BSM Summit. I want you to know I didn't forget. I'm hoping to release a number of those sessions in the future as part of a BSM Summit audio series, so stay tuned for details. Speaking of the summit, if you've been following along, we recently announced that the 2020 BSM Summit will be coming to New York City. It's our first time doing it on the East Coast. The dates are February 26th and 27th. Our location is the Ailey City Group Theater on West 55th Street and 9th Avenue. There's a lot of hard work ahead to make sure this is a spectacular event. By the time we make it to February, though, I'm convinced industry folks will be excited to be in attendance for it. Now, before I set up today's conversation with Dan and Bill, you guys know I'm not someone who sells products I don't believe in. If it doesn't fit what we do, I don't touch it. Which is why I'm pleased to extend a special thank you to Justin Dove and Core Imaging Studio, because these guys do fantastic work and are now a proud sponsor of the Barrett Sports Media Podcast. Not only is Justin one of the most gifted imagers in the industry today, his company sums up what they offer in three simple words: sports imaging redefined. If your station's in the market for custom imaging and sound design, I encourage you to check them out. They've got packages available worldwide for cash or barter. You can get more information by visiting coreimagestudio.com. Once again, thanks to those guys for being on board with us. That brings us now to the interview portion of the podcast. VSiN announced in June they were going to take the plunge into terrestrial radio, becoming the first dedicated radio network to sports betting. The company plans to make their shows available to local stations starting in August. That'll give stations another alternative in the national sports radio space. Now, VSiN serves as the radio home for Brent Musburger. They've also got an excellent morning show, Follow the Money, with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard, and they've got a couple more things in the works. Since launching a few years ago, they've already struck partnerships with SiriusXM, NESN, the New York Post, and Cheddar. I've gotten to know Brian Musburger, Dan Mason, and Bill Ady over the years, and with the sports betting category continuing to gain steam, these guys are hungry to become a bigger content provider. So I thought, who better to chat with about their latest decision to enter the terrestrial radio space than Chairman Dan Mason and COO Bill Ady? And that conversation begins now.
3, 2, 1.
VSiN recently decided SiriusXM, that was the start, but now it's time to explore terrestrial radio. And I've got Dan Mason and Bill Ady of VSiN with me today. So, Dan, I'm going to start with you. The company starts in SiriusXM with VSiN.com as well, has since built up a number of relationships with other media partners like Cheddar, The New York Post, Nessun, just to name a few. What was the motivation behind exploring the terrestrial space, a space that I know you're very well aware of?
It gives us another outlet for our content, and it's been interesting to watch the progression and how there is still advertiser demand, a lot of it, for terrestrial radio features. You know, the fact that we put Brent Musburger's Action Update up last summer, and towards the end of the summer, and we got 125 stations in a pretty short order. So you can just expand that to several shows and several new features. And I think that the appetite could be good.
You mentioned the advertiser demand, and obviously on Sirius, that's not as big of a focus as terrestrial is going to be, and you guys have the updates, which do allow sponsor inclusion in them. So how will this change if local stations want to pick up a VSiN show going forward? What do you guys get? What does the local station get from an advertisement standpoint?
Our clock right now is 10.5 minutes to the local stations, and I believe 4.5 or 5 minutes, Bill can correct me on this, to the network. That's what we have right now.
Bill, what about from your standpoint? I mean, you joined the company early on. You've seen it go into all these different spaces. So you're trying to manage publishing content, video content, audio content. How many people do you guys plan to have involved to make sure not only are you taking care of, you know, the audio standpoint here, but also all these other spaces where you guys are active in?
It really comes out of don't leave any content behind, right? Produce the content and then find all the different avenues for it. And so I think we're starting to see that play out in a bigger way this year with adding the terrestrial network. The big difference is now we're a year past Supreme Court ruling, you know, throwing the decision for sports betting back at the states. And now you have roughly 17 states that either have legalized gambling or have passed legislation to make it happen. And so all things are local. And you have these stations in states where sports betting is legal. And there's a battle, a marketing battle in most of them, over the bet takers and who's going to win out. And that means advertising opportunities and making money opportunities for stations. And so, you know, that's what we saw the tip of with the Action updates. And we expect to see the same thing with our content going to long form.
You mentioned 17 states. As you guys look towards the next 12, 24, 36 months, a lot of people expect sports betting to be a bigger and bigger category. What are your expectations as far as legalization goes and the increase in states getting behind on this project?
You know, I would say it's ahead of schedule, if anything. I mean, as far as states that have passed legislation or have legalized it, I'd say, though, in some states they're a bit lagging because of the details of the laws they passed. It's extremely key for mobile betting to be allowed, and some states have delayed that or haven't passed that piece at all. That's really what breeds a lot of the competition. And so the devil's in the details in some cases in some of these states.
Dan, from your standpoint, when you look at future revenue projections for the sports betting category, what are you seeing that would give stations excitement and enthusiasm to move forward with adding sports betting content to their radio stations?
Anywhere where sports betting is allowed, any state where their legalization has happened, there's usually a casino. And it's just a brand new advertising category to do business with. That goes from remotes to functions to do at the casinos, and maybe some contesting to do with casinos. on in-house. You know, a station could have their own handicapping section for a weekend, maybe a special weekend, specialized weekend. But so far, I mean, we're really excited about the interest that we've had. I mean, just from our initial press release alone, we're contacted by about 20 stations. And then last week, towards the end of last week, we had inquiries from stations in Dallas and Denver, and that was exciting too. So I believe, and what's really I expect to happen is the states like New Jersey, I really expect a good affiliation there.
The one challenge, and I think a lot of people are going through this as this space grows, is becoming even more, you know, relevant every day in the thought and mind of every listener out there or anybody who's betting on sports. And what you guys have done since launching is really impressive. That being said, I think you both would agree awareness for the brand is still got to come up. And terrestrial will likely play into that, of course, because the more you're on regular radio stations, the more you're going to become familiar to people. But beyond just going into terrestrial space, how can you guys continue to increase the awareness of the VSiN brand? Bill, I'll start with you.
Well, I think our deal with NESN, which is the network of the Boston Red Sox and Boston Bruins, who obviously had a nice playoff run, more deals like that create that kind of awareness that we're looking for. And we think for the same reason that we are going to do well with terrestrial radio stations, we believe that these regional sports networks may be looking for programming in the sports betting space. They have some programming needs during the day. They're filled up at night. And, you know, we have some great shows to offer.
What about your standpoint, Dan? What can VSiN do to further increase its awareness to the sports community?
Well, I want to add on to something that Bill said about the regional sports carriers. Many of them run paid advertising throughout the day for the right reasons. But I believe that our programming, Bill had mentioned NESN, I expect other regional carriers to begin to notice this programming and to say, well, wait a minute, this programming could potentially make more money than the paid advertising that we're running. So especially, again, in markets where legalization has already happened. So it's really a very good cable product as well.
Well, Jason, the other thing you're going to see is it's already being discussed in Illinois, where they just passed the sports betting laws, is that the sports venues themselves are going to get licensed. So very possible Wrigley Field could have a sports betting license. And so you're going to see the sports teams, some of them at least, dabble in this area. And so it'll make sports betting programming even more important, especially our kind of sports betting programming, which is not who's going to win. You know, Team A is going to win, Team B is going to win. It's here's how to bet, here's what your thinking should be, here's how to calculate the odds. That's part of our thinking.
In a lot of ways, you guys are becoming an informational resource to people who want to invest money in sports, which is great. It was interesting you bringing that up, Bill, because you've got StubHub, who've opened a location where Giant Stadium MetLife is. You've got Fox Sports announced they're going to start taking bets through an app. I mean, it's just a different sports media universe than we saw 10 years ago. As far as you guys go, Bill, you don't ever see a situation where VSiN's taking bets directly, do you?
We do not. And for just that very scenario that you laid out there, because it'll be important to have an independent news organization, and that's what we consider ourselves at the end of the day, the CNBC for sports betting news, to be that advocate for the consumer. And so it's hard to take bets and then critique others in the bet taking space. And so that's why we think that this area is ripe for us, and that by not taking bets, that we're in a really good spot.
SiriusXM's reaction to you guys going into terrestrial space, they've been obviously a great partner of yours. By becoming a terrestrial outlet, it doesn't make them the sole provider of your content, although you guys did make it available on TV and on VSiN.com, so it's not like others going to get it. But have they been supportive and behind your expansion plans?
Our deal with Sirius has been tremendous. You know, from the get-go, they were there for us. You know, our deal with Sirius continues. And in fact, you know, the only place to get full menu of programs of VSiN will be on Sirius still. And so the terrestrial offerings will be select shows, but not all of them. And so if you're a VSiN fan and you want to consume us on audio, you're going to have to subscribe to Sirius still. And that was important to them, and it's important to us. And so that relationship continues.
Dan, from a lineup standpoint, if stations are interested in partnering with VSiN, what are their commitments, and what is the lineup that they have available to choose from?
I'll start off by saying that we have a variety of weekend programming that is really great for sports Sundays, specifically football, college basketball, college football, and pro football. And then a terrific morning show, in my opinion, that can play whether in any sports station, whether or not you're in a sports betting situation or not. And then Brent does afternoons. So what sports station would not want Brent Musburger on the air for 2 hours in the afternoon? So, but I'll let Bill add on to those thoughts.
Yeah, we're finalizing the lineup, but I have to say that thanks to your fine summit in Los Angeles, Brian and I got a chance to talk to program directors about their needs and where they saw a need for themselves in programming. And not surprisingly for your audience, you know, they all said weekends and nights. We're building out those areas where we haven't done as much programming. Right now we're on live from 7 a.m. Eastern to 5. We'll be extending those hours heading into August, and we expect those programs to be among the more popular to pick up. But as Dan said, if you're a radio executive out there, and just because your state hasn't picked up sports betting yet, doesn't mean you shouldn't take a look at our programming. Our morning show is terrific. It's entertaining. It is done through the prism of sports betting, but it does not, is not fixated on it completely. It is not over the heads of any sports fan who just watched the golf over the weekend or is focused on the NBA and the off-season draft. It's just that the numbers, money market, is providing some context for those discussions.
It's interesting you both talked about the nights and weekends factor, because I've been a local programmer. Dan, you know local radio as well as anybody for what you did with CBS building the sports radio space. And you do know most programmers are going to go, I've got to protect my weekday, Monday to Friday, 6A to 7P, especially in top 20, top 30 markets. They all have needs at night. They all have needs on weekends. That being said, I mean, if your bread and butter is your morning and afternoon show, you'd love to have those programs cleared, of course, as much as possible. But from a business standpoint, and Dan, I'll start with you on this, is there enough advertiser demand in running content that's going to run in off-peak hours? Or are you guys making your mornings and your afternoon show available to stations to clear at night and overnight? Is that an option?
You know, we haven't really crossed that bridge yet, but we're pretty much open to anything. But if the most important thing, Jason, for us was to be out there first in this space in terrestrial radio. You know, we were first in the sports or betting information space. And, you know, and eventually somebody was going to launch a series of programs evolved around sports betting. And I'm not talking about a one-off here or a one-off there. I'm talking about some place where a radio station can go and get a variety of shows circled around sports betting. And this is an important place for us to be. Now, how we bend the rules, I mean, we're a wide-open slate here. So to answer your question, anything's possible.
Dan's exactly right. And, you know, the first part of our journey started with talking to executives at your summit in L.A. and hearing what they had to say. And we're going to do the same over the next couple of weeks to say, you know, to get into the thinking of radio executives so we can adapt and adjust quickly. But I think to address, we do have some great stuff that happens during the day. We also have a lot of the content is of the moment as well. And so we do think in the nights and weekends, we can do a lot of highlights and best ofs from Brent, from the morning team, from Gil Alexander, to sprinkle in there some of the good stuff that, that we have on VSiN that helps especially educate and entertain potential sports bettors.
So, Bill, as the content guy in this equation, let's talk about those nights and weekends. So, are obviously, you know, you've got your strong points already with your morning and afternoon show, but building a evening show that's going to be attractive to stations when you're competing with all these other networks to get on local stations. Do you guys foresee a situation where you're providing some kind of red zone content? Are you guys still looking for more talent, or do you feel you have the answers in-house?
Well, I think I'd split it into, let's look at weekdays first, right? So weekend night or weekday nights where we are looking at that kind of red zone. We actually have a show called The Green Zone, which is patterned after the red zone where, you know, we want to get everybody ready for the action and then follow the action through the night. And so we're looking for the just the right hosts for that programming, which would be ideal if a station carries games, can go in and out of our programming. And then there's post the games. Can we analyze the games that just happened? But also, can we look ahead? Sports bettors look ahead as much as they look behind. And so that slot kind of starting at around 10 or 11 Eastern, the games are ending. Everybody wants to turn the page and look ahead to the next day's games. The odds are out. And so we can analyze those. Then there's the weekends, and we're pretty excited about the lineup that we're putting together in the 5 to 6 hours leading up to college and NFL games. And so focused on football, realizing that many stations have their own pregame shows, but realizing that there's still some time ahead of those even where sports betting information could come in handy. So those are the type of things that we'll be offering. Station.
I want to follow up with you on something regarding talent, because I'm asked this by a lot of guys in the business who they see sports betting exploding. They go, okay, I know there's money to be made there as a talent if I could talk about this intelligently. When you're looking for talent, Bill, and guys are reaching out, you know, just being able to say, like, I'd bet on a game doesn't mean you could talk about it for 3 or 4 hours on the air. What do you look for that you feel is key for any guy who's or gal who's looking to talk about sports betting on the radio?
Well, they still have to have the basics, right? It's thought to be entertaining and engaging, knowledgeable about sports. I think if there's a strand that goes throughout our schedule, it's that our hosts have kind of photographic minds on the numbers, on the content side. They're just quite amazing in their knowledge, and they know sports betting. They know what questions to ask if they don't know something about sports betting, but most of them, in fact, could answer most of those questions as well. And you just can't fake that. And so I do think that's why, you know, sports betting hosts are in such demand right now, and we've been very fortunate to pick up some of the best of them. But it's taken, you know, Brian started his search many years before VSiN launched. And even now, while we've been out in Las Vegas, we've tried a lot of people on a lot of different positions and found some real gems, you know, including such sort of unicorns as a former professional athletes who are bettors and who can bring multi-talented, right? They played the game, they know sports, and they know sports betting. So those are even harder to find.
So, Dan, let's talk a little bit of business here. So you guys, as part of this new venture, have teamed up with Gal Media. What does that relationship entail, and how did this come about?
Brian and Bill have known him for a while, and I met with David last December and really liked him a lot. And he has the infrastructure that we're looking for. He does the syndication portion. He can do the sales portion, and he can do the affiliation portion. And a product as new as ours, Bill and I knocked on some doors, and honestly, there wasn't much interest from some of the networks. And David's network says, yeah, we see the opportunity. Let's do that. And it wasn't that way everywhere. Of course, Bill and I joke a lot about, well, that's the story of VEASAN, because the number of times that VEASAN has been told no, going back to 2017, it's a hilarious story, right, Bill?
It sure is. Dan's exactly right. We're very comfortable with David Gao. We actually met with him out at your summit in L.A. and got to know him better. And then Mike Sennett, really felt comfortable with him and his knowledge of the space and knowing stations across the U.S. from his Sports Flash feature. This was a group that could roll up their sleeves and get going right away, because time is of the essence. Football season is approaching, and you know, we want to make a big splash.
Here's something I want to put to both of you guys, and this involves being in the local station shoes. So I'm looking at it as a programmer, and I've got ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC, SB Nation, now VEASAN. I've got my local shows. I've got my play-by-play. And when I'm looking at network stuff, I'm going, okay, where are my holes in the lineup that I could afford to not put local content on? And I'm looking for, what do I get from that relationship that's going to excite me beyond just clearing content? Because all of the networks are going to want to clear content, and there's values that each one bring. But one of the frustrations I can tell you that's come up, and Bill, you mentioned the summit, you know, in L.A. this came up, and it came up in Chicago, is a lot of programmers feel like they put the network on, it lives there, but then beyond that, they don't really get a lot of perks to help their weekday shows or to create promotional opportunities that will help them monetize the network space more. Now that you guys are in the space of having to sell these local stations, which you've already started with the VEASAN action updates, Dan, I'll begin with you. You've been that guy overseeing a company, and they're pitching you content that they want to clear on your station. If local stations want more than beyond just clearing two or three shows, what are you guys open to from that standpoint? Do you foresee doing some live remotes in a town, or your talent doing a weekly call-in arrangement on shows as far as supporting the fact that they're on in those markets? What do you see being able to offer stations beyond just clearance?
We're up for making our talent available to a local station. You know, we have done that in the very, very large markets. Brent has been on KMBR in San Francisco. We're open to that. And another thought we've had, too, in the casino markets, of actually taking VEASAN, like a portable VEASAN, into a casino, to where the station could own some of that and do remotes out of that. That would be a lot of fun. Be part of that casino. Try to build a relationship with the casino, like what we do with the South Point, they would do with their local casinos.
Right, absolutely. We'd be willing to do that. We broadcast our NFL schedule last year out of the ocean in Atlantic City. And as Dan said, we're able to stand up a mini studio there. And we could certainly do that in bigger markets with legal sports betting. The other thing we've discussed is, you know, working with a local station to, you know, have a sports betting seminar, you know, have an event there in the city to be able to bring everybody together, bring some experts together, both ours and local. Definitely understand that need to connect with the local community.
Yeah, because from their standpoint, look, you know, beyond the clearance, they're going to go, okay, I'm trying to make all these networks happy, but I can only take so much. So who's willing to give me Brent during the weekday show or Mike Lombardi during the weekday show? Or they come to town and they create a sports betting symposium, or I've got Lombardi in my backyard doing a show with Von Tobel, like all those kind of things, or even intertwining where the network talent do a special once-a-year local version of a show for a station. Like, all those little things make local programmers feel like, okay, look, I've got a partner in this equation versus just, okay, flip the switch and we go right to the network and there we go and we don't hear or see from them outside of the content. Now, the one thing I think that does make you guys unique in this equation is that you're providing a content experience that nobody else is providing, which does make it different. But that being said, as you guys now go deeper into this and are battling for those terrestrial speakers, obviously the more that you bring to the table, the more programmers are going to be inclined to go down the road, especially if they're already interested in the sports betting space. It's just ultimately trying to show them a path to revenue.
Exactly. And, you know, if I took anything away from this half hour, I was sitting there listening to it from radio executive, I would say these guys sound like they're willing to do whatever it takes and would hope that they would raise any ideas they have of how we can make it work.
Dan, now that you've wrapped your arms around the company, you've become chairman, you know, you saw it first as an investor and advisor and just trying to get a sense of what the group is about, and you've seen how the brand has been built and grown over the last few years. What are your future goals for VSiN collectively with Brian and Bill?
Well, I think to put our content in as many places as we can because, you know, these are like spokes coming out of the hub here from our content to create the bigger wheel. But I want to end up, Jason, with one point. I think that we want to run our network and putting ourselves in a local PD's shoes every day. You mentioned that earlier a few seconds ago, that yes, I have been that local program director that looks for a cutting edge somehow to get ahead of the curve, and how frustrating it can be just to have a network slapped on and there's no support, no visibility, no nothing. You're a carrier, and that's not very much fun. So I think our team will keep that in mind as we go forward, that we have to be that local program director. We have to fill their shoes at times and look at the place where they are and to put ourselves in that position.
Bill, closing thoughts from you, future goals for VSiN. What's on your agenda for the future?
I think it's exactly what Dan said. We want to make our clients happy. We are a media company, a content company, a news organization, and we rely on distribution from others. And to be at NESN and to be able to make them happy with our show is an awesome thing. We feel like we can do the same thing with terrestrial radio stations across the country. We feel like we can do the same thing with newspapers across the country, with other digital media news organizations. Just be in every place. We produce great content from our studio here in the middle of the South Point Casino in Las Vegas, and we just need to get it out there.
Dan, I'll end on this. Where do stations go to get in touch if they want to pick up the programming?
They would go to Mike Sennett at Gal Media, or they could contact Bill.
If you want to email me, bill@vsin.com, VSIN.com, bill@vsin.com. Would love to hear from anybody who's interested.
Guys, exciting times. And you know, the crazy thing is this space still is untapped and will probably be very different in 2 years as you start to expand even further. So congratulations again to both of you. Good luck with the venture, and look forward to keeping tabs on it as we go forward. Dan, Bill, thank you.
Thank you
very much.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
Thank you for listening to the Barrett Sports Media Podcast. To stay updated on the latest sports media news, follow Jason on Twitter @SportsRadioPD and visit our website, sportsradiopd.com.